High Point Baptist Church would like to welcome you to our sermon cast, where, as in all things, our mission is to glorify God and proclaim His Word, and we thank you for listening. The following sermon was recorded at High Point Baptist Church on the 2nd of March 2014 and focuses on Scripture from Matthew chapter 27 with preaching by High Point Deacon Mike Griego.
I hope you're all praying for me. And I hope you don't mind a little quiver in my voice. I've never done this before. But I'm often reminded in Scripture that unless the Lord does a work, there's no work that's done. So, with that, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew, 27th chapter. But before we begin there, I'd like to read a quote that the Apostle Paul stated in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 2, Paul states, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Even the Apostle Paul, when he got up to proclaim the message that God has placed upon his heart, stood up with fear and trembling. And when I consider that one day I will stand before the Lord and I will give an account for every word that I speak, not only here at this moment, but throughout my life as a child of God, living in a lost and dying world, a fallen world, it gives me pause. But before we read chapter 27 of Matthew, I'd like to make a few comments about, I've oftentimes been heard to say, there comes a reckoning day. We go along in life and we think things will always remain the same. That the routine life of getting up, going to work, loving family, going to bed, getting up, it'll always be the same. But that's not so. There does come a reckoning day. There will be judgment for every living soul. We as Christians, I'd like to say it's not often that we Christians take a look at the cross. I mean, really look at the cross. It's been my experience that we do so at Easter and at evangelistic services that we reaching out to the lost. Seems rare for those of us who know Christ, to those of us who are saved, to those of us who are born again, to consider the cross in any depth or frequency. It's my humble opinion, we who are redeemed should consider the cross daily. Every moment of every day. It should forever be before us in our mind, in our heart, in our attitude, in our conduct, in our words, lest we forget the cost. Lest we take for granted the gift we have received, a gift that we have received and we can never lose. That's the gift that we Christians possess right now. Not one man born of woman has ever deserved such a gift. What we have deserved is what I hope God reveals to us this day at this hour, and we come to a renewed appreciation, even a breathless awe of God's gift. So let's pray as if God is in this room, because He is. Let's worship Him, falling down upon our knees as if He sees us naked before Him. Because that's what we are. And that's what He sees. Every one of us can look and do look upon many victories we think we have won in life. I submit most of them, at least in my experience, are won by default, in that we were never challenged or confronted by them. We claim victory by saying, I would never do that. I would never do that. Never having the chance to do that. Truth is, we don't know what we would do unless we were actually confronted with that. But this victory we possess by the decree of God, our Father, by the death of Jesus, our Savior, shedding His blood, and by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in our hearts, we are the redeemed of the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When's the last time you said so? I pray that with every opportunity, we stand before a fallen, sinful, needful world and proclaim that we are the redeemed of the Lord. I'm shaking up here. I don't know. Maybe you can't see it, but it's true. Matthew 27. I'm going to begin reading in verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when He had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spat upon Him and took the reed and smote Him on the head. And after they had mocked Him, they took the robe off from Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear His cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when He had tasted it, He would not drink. And they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched Him there, and set up over His head His accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking Him, with the scribes and elders said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also who were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, This man calls for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again, with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. When I was studying to bring this message, the message so impacted my heart because of the sin in my life, because of how many times I fall short. I pray that God speaks to your heart. And I don't know how I'm coming across this morning, but I was reading about the 16th century servant of God, George Whitefield. He lived in the 1600s. And he gave this illustration in one of his sermons. But it's said about George Whitefield, he didn't have the benefit of microphones or stadiums. He was an open-air preacher. It's said that his voice was able to be heard succinctly for 2 miles. It's amazing the gifts that God has given to his servants. But he related about an incident that occurred between an actor, Butterton, who was asked of the Archbishop of Canterbury in 1675, What is the reason you actors can affect your audiences with speaking of imaginary things as if they were real, while we in the church speak of things real, which our congregations receive as imaginary? He replied, The reason is very plain. We actors on stage speak of imaginary things as if they were real. And you in the pulpit speak of things real as if they were imaginary. You think that's true? I think we or many in the pulpit today speak haltingly about spiritual truths. Therefore, George Whitefield says, speak about the real spiritual world as if it were wonderfully, terrifyingly, magnificently real, because it is. The account in Matthew about the crucifixion, the 6 hours that Jesus suffered on the cross, is something that I think we ought to dwell upon, look upon. I didn't read verse 26, but it states in verse 26 of Matthew 27, Then released he Barabbas unto them, speaking of Pilate. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Guilty Barabbas. Barabbas, who could be likened to you and me, Jesus was delivered instead of Barabbas to be judged. Jesus Christ, God the Son, given to the hands of evil men to be crucified. For the likes of us? For the likes of you? For the likes of me? What love, unconditional, everlasting, infinite, holy love is ours through Christ. God delivered His Son for us, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Do you ever think about that? I think oftentimes, at least I do, I think that this is all because of evil men that Jesus was delivered. This is all because we have caused, and we did, our sin. But it was God the Father who delivered His Son because of His great love for us. Pilate pronounced judgment, and in that same moment, execution took place. Roman law required at least 10 days interval between condemnation and execution. But then, what's one more law ignored or broken by so many? It wasn't only the Roman law that was broken, it was the Jewish law that was broken over and over again. The sacrifice that Christ made was unrelenting, continued to increase in rage and cruelty. Pilate, knowing Jesus was innocent, turned Him over to the mob to be crucified by his soldiers. Knowing that, Pilate was afraid. He was the governor. Three times at least, the Gospels tell us that he tried to release Jesus, proclaiming he was a righteous man, proclaiming that he found no fault in him, offering up a guilty murderer, Barabbas, in his place. But the people wouldn't have it. And who are those people? The people that he loved, the people that he cured of diseases, the people that he raised from the dead, the people that he proved over and over and over again that he was God, the Son. Had they only had eyes to see, if only they had ears to hear. You know, the same is true today. You know, there are those in amongst our crowd that are hearing. I don't want to believe it, but I believe that there are those within our group that don't hear it. Verse 28, they stripped him. God the Son, God incarnate, God who spoke this world into existence with His Word, sinful man took and stripped him. He stood condemned. He stood naked and he stood alone. They put on a scarlet robe. Scripture says our sins are as scarlet. Scripture in Isaiah chapter 1 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Our scarlet sins were placed upon Christ. in exchange for his white raiment that he gives to us. Verse 29 says, they plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. They gave him a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. You know, in Genesis it tells us that the thorns did not appear until sin, until the judgment that God placed upon the earth, the curse. The thorns were a byproduct of sin. They gave our Lord, our God, a scepter that was a reed. They bowed before him. This is God the Son. This is evil man. This is one of those times where many of us would say in our own hearts, at least I have said it, I would never do that. If I was there, if I was a member of the Roman army, knowing, hearing, seeing, I would never do. You wouldn't? Take a look in your own life today. How many times have you said that you would never do something that you wound up doing? How many times? I've lost count a long time ago. These people who mocked our Lord, who bowed, getting laughs from one another, will one day bow before him again. I venture to say it won't be like the first time. In verse 30, they spat upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. In jest and mocking, these soldiers bowed their knees before our Lord. They struck our Lord. Can you imagine putting thorns together and then placing them upon the head of our Lord? Do you think they came over and said, now hold still, and place them tenderly upon his head? Or do you think it was a violent, violent, cruel act where they tried to inflict as much pain as they could? And you've probably been in crowds where you try to outdo one another in your cruelty or in your negative remarks. Maybe you haven't. But crowds or mobs tend to take on a life of their own. And everybody's responsibility is nobody's responsibility. You're in a crowd, you're in the back row. The people that are doing and saying these things are in the front row. So you say, I'm just standing here. But you're guilty. You're agreeing. We've all heard that silence is one of acceptance, of an agreement. I pray that all who are here with us this morning do bow before our Lord with godly fear and not as those soldiers mocking. I can't see your heart, but God can. If you're here just to say that you're here, God sees that. Angels in heaven cover their faces before God and hear men mock and spit and deliver blows upon God the Son. This same Son of God is looking back on those whom he has created, and instead of pronouncing judgment upon them, then executing that penalty immediately, he pours out upon them love, forgiveness, mercy. Here is our God, our Creator, being despised and rejected. I would never do that. I never did that. Is that a lie? I'm here to confess that I did do that. I worshiped mockingly before I got saved. I spent my hour a week giving my due penance, due duty to the Lord. It meant nothing. Victory by default. So ask yourself, it's probably a good practice, we who claim to love the Lord, who claim to live for the Lord, who want to proclaim His message, have I mocked Him today? Have I ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Have I looked upon the Lord with contempt? Only God knows. But if your heart condemns you in these things, as my own heart does me, I don't point the finger because there's too many pointing back at me. Confess it. Don't deny it. Don't compare it. Don't attempt to justify it. Say the same thing. That's what confession is. You're saying the same thing that God is saying about your behavior. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess. So much suffering. He's not on the cross yet. So much shame. This is only the beginning. This is only the beginning of the sacrifice that He suffered in our place. Remember, this treatment that our Lord received is what we have earned. We deserve. Oh, Mike, you're being too hard. That's not nice. Mike's not saying this. This book that God has given to us, His holy word, says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That must include you and me. The scriptures tell us that if we have sinned in one part of the law, we're guilty of the whole law. Oh, but I've only did white lies. You have. I never killed anybody. You haven't. These are the wages of our sin. We earned all this and more. We sinned against Almighty God, who is holy, holy, holy. The angels cover their faces and proclaim His holiness before His throne, constantly worshiping Him, proclaiming His holiness. Cross isn't has yet to be endured. In Psalm 22, the people, His people, despised Him, laughed at Him, taunted Him to save Himself. Save yourself. While he's on the cross, every joint is out of place. Have you ever had a joint out of place? Do you know of a person that's ever had a joint out of place? The extreme pain, one joint? Sweating, profuse sweating, extreme thirst, total exhaustion, the heart pounding to cling to life, naked, hanging on the cross by nails in his hands and his feet. It's not the Hollywood version of the crucifixion. I'm not sure that they had any concerns about modesty. Our Lord was naked. Our Lord was beaten. Our Lord was bleeding. This is what our Lord endured for you and I. This is what we Christians ought to be considering every day. But I'm having a bad day. I don't want to be gracious to that person. But that person, look what they've done to me. I don't want to forgive him, her. Well, maybe I can forgive, but I'm never going to forget. Is that how the Lord has forgiven you? When you place all of our concerns of life before the cross, don't they kind of shrink? In verse 39 and 40, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. People reviled him, hanging naked on the cross. Come down if you are the Son of God. In verse 41, likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. So here you have the people just passing by the cross, wagging their heads. Then you have the religious people, those people that we are to follow. We're to emulate or to copy what they do. These were the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the religious people mocked him. Come down off that cross if you are the King of Israel. Then we will believe. He saved others. Himself he cannot save is the taunt of these leaders. It is true he saved others. Lazarus was living at this time, was he not? The blind man was seeing at this point, was he not? The man with palsy that was walking all about. There was the people were by the hundreds that were saved from illnesses. They were there. They were there. He saved others. Himself he cannot save is the taunt. It is true he saved others. It's not true he cannot save himself. It is true that he did not save himself. He willingly gave his life in ransom for us, the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. No one took his life from him. He laid down his life. The taunts of the religious leaders, if you be the Son of God, remember where you first heard that? In the temptation of our Lord in the desert. Satan himself said, if you are the Son of God. The people said it too. Verse 44. The thieves also who were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. So here's the people. Here's the religious people, the leaders of Israel, God's chosen people. And here's the thieves, all bound together with one accord, one purpose. And that was to inflict as much pain upon our Lord as they could possibly inflict. All this happening in the first 3 hours of our Lord's crucifixion. Trying to maintain life. Bleeding. It might be good to mention the scourging that he took before he went to the cross. These were professional soldiers that they loved to do this. It has been known that sometimes the scourging was so cruel, so harsh, that they cut a man in half because of the bone and the metal that would tear at the flesh. When you look at the cross, when you consider the cross, don't consider the Hollywood version, please. This is real. This happened. This is not a story. I hope, by God's grace, by the Spirit of God, that you are hearing that this is real. This is real. Verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. 9 o'clock in the morning, Jesus was hung upon the cross. For at least 3 hours, while bleeding that precious blood, he endured these insults and abuses from those whom he created with his spoken word. Noontime, the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land. Do you think the darkness frightened the people? Do you think that might have given them some pause? Let's pretend that darkness all of a sudden comes across this mountain. The time of the full moon, the Passover. This is when the moon is over here and the sun is over here. There was no eclipse. It was a God-ordained darkness. It not only gave pause to some, it gave pause to all. It silenced them. What has it done to you today? God has placed us before the cross today again. With what group do you stand? Is there sin that casts a shadow in your life before the cross? I want to take one more group that I haven't messaged. There was a fourth group witnessing the crucifixion of our Lord. It was a small group. They stood with Mary, the mother of Jesus. They stood with the only apostle, John. One man three women standing there, loving him. There may have been those like Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea there also, but they're not mentioned in the scripture specifically until after he's taken down from the cross or after he dies. Those of us who would reign with Christ must travel that path, the path that Christ walked. We shall suffer if we live for Christ. If you proclaim your witness and testimony before the world, before the people that you work with, before the people that you live with and love, there will be persecution. I'm not saying that. God's word says that. It is amazing that all these people spent so much time and effort to do as much as they could to add to the sufferings of the Lord. But they left the criminals alone. They didn't say one word to the criminals. They all joined together against the Lord. I don't know if this is an appropriate statement, but enemies of the Lord make strange bedfellows. They all come together. They hate each other, but when it comes to our Lord, they come together. The darkness covered the land. At Jesus' birth, there was a great light in the heavens. Now at his death, a great darkness fell. Deafening silence came upon the mockers. I don't know exactly why the Lord darkened the earth. In Isaiah, God's word says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." It was God the Father that was bruising our Lord, pouring out his wrath upon his Son because of the sin that he bore. Not his sin, your sin, my sin. In Joel chapter 3, it says that the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. That happened after he died. Some of the proclamations that our Lord made, I'm not mentioning all of them, but just he proclaimed before he passed, "Let his spirit leave. It is finished." What's finished? His life? The work of redemption. Complete. He proclaimed from the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He said, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. Clearly, the evidence of the Gospels are that Jesus gave his life. Nobody took it from him. He gave his life for you and he gave his life for me. 6 hours upon the cross. You can't breathe. You're suffocating with a loud voice. The scripture might even suggest that he screamed this with great strength. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He chose to lay down his life. Again, I say, what was the darkness for? He said, assuredly, it was a supernatural darkness decreed by God. The cross, the darkness, the judgment, God is judging sin here. God is working here. Previous to the darkness falling, we have seen what sinful man did to our Savior. As horrible and as cruel and undeserving that it was not to be compared with the wrath of God poured out upon Jesus. The holy fury of God the Father poured out in full measure upon his only begotten Son. Full measure. This is God's work. Judging sin, the Father pouring out his furious wrath upon his Son because he bore our sin, suffering our judgment. This work of God is a perfect and complete work. I say again, it's a perfect and complete work, a work of God that only God can do. There are those of us who dare to try to add to that finished work. We dare not add anything to what God says is complete. Have you done it? I have. Every now and then, my mind plays tricks with me. I think, well, gee, Mike, you did good there. Chalk that up to a plus sign. Gee, Mike, you didn't do very good there. Take that. It's not about us. It's not about what we have done, what we are doing, or what we will do. It's what Christ has done. Amen. Finished. It is finished. If we try to add, we say we must add more and we must add often. We tell God in doing that, we don't believe his word. Don't believe it. We tell God we can do God's work ourselves. Kind of silly, isn't it? I'm almost done. I didn't think I'd go this long. I thought I'd be up here 2 minutes. I'm still shaking, so if I fall down after it's over, I'll be okay. Three p.m., the afternoon of the Passover. Think about this. This is the Passover. This is the major religious holiday commemorating Israel's deliverance from Egypt with the great outstretched mighty hand of God, he delivered them. The temple was jammed with people observing this great feast. In that instant, when Christ gave his spirit into the hands of his Father, God tore the veil in the temple. The veil that was said that they could have teams of oxen pulling in opposite directions, and they would not tear it. Tore it from top to bottom. The temple's purpose was complete. The priesthood done away with. The sacrifices no more to be given. The barrier between God and man removed. Salvation is completed forever. The shadow is replaced with reality. It was the cross that opened up the way. The truth gave us life. That's John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Have you been bought from the marketplace of sin? By the blood shed on the cross by Jesus? Can you say that with all assurance? I've said many times in our Bible study at home that when you're a child of the King, when you're a child of God, you can say with all assurance, I know, because I know, because I know, I am a child of God. Because Christ died for me. Or are you trying to buy yourself? Are you parading your good works and your good life and your giving? That's what I used to do. I go to church every week. I take care of my family. I pay my bills. I haven't stolen anything. I treat people kindly. It was the Roman governor that saw Jesus innocent, who tried to release him at least 3 times. It was Pilate's wife who knew Jesus to be a righteous man and advised her husband, have nothing to do with him. It was the Roman centurion who looked upon Jesus and declared him, surely he was the Son of God. So I ask you, here, now, today, in this place, who is this Jesus to you? Right now, if he was to come, would you receive him as your Savior or your judge? Jesus could very well come this next moment, right now. Or, if he doesn't come right now at this moment, this may very well be the last opportunity he gives to you to come to him for salvation. Joshua challenged the people as they entered into the promised land. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't assume anything. If you're not sure, you're not a child of God. The Spirit of God gives us assurance, peace, joy. I pray God spoke to your heart as he spoke to mine, and one of the quotes of one of the early Christian giants says, it is a poor sermon that gives no offense, that neither makes the hearer displeased with himself or the preacher displeased with himself. Grace is what enters us into the family of God. You didn't earn it. You can't keep it by your own works. It's all of grace. All of grace. Unmerited favor. Let's pray. Father, when we consider how much you love us, the great cost of the salvation we possess, it makes us to tremble. Father, we can do nothing apart from you. So, Father, fill us with your Spirit, that you may be glorified in the lives that we live, in the words that we speak, in the attitude of our love toward others, even those of our enemies. That you may be lifted up and glorified and exalted in the ministry of this church family and in each and every one of the individuals. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to High Point Deacon Mike Griego on the High Point Baptist Church Sermoncast, and we pray you have been blessed by what you've heard. If you have any questions about the gospel of our Lord, or if you would like to speak with someone concerning a decision you've made for Jesus Christ, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. We are so grateful that God would grant us the opportunity to minister to you. Contact information can be found on our website. If you have any additional questions or comments regarding this sermon, would like to know more about our church, or would like to make a prayer request, just visit us online at highpointchurch.info. Additional sermons can be found on the Sermoncast page of our website and may be downloaded or streamed free of charge. Our website again is highpointchurch.info. Thank you again for listening. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Copyright 2014, High Point Baptist Church, all rights reserved.